Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
Diligence, an attribute needed for success. 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 Amongst other things, if you are not diligent, you would not taste success. Amongst other things, if you are not diligent, you will not taste success. Diligence is one of the ingredients that will make the food come out right. How many people know, if you want to cook rice, for instance, you want to cook rice. Without rice, you can't cook it. So that's the major ingredient. So who's the rice, Ijoma? What I mean to say is that you are the main person. You are the main dish. You get what I'm saying? So without you, they can't be you. You get it? Are you coming along? So I've shown you your importance in your whole field of success. So you are very important in your success. Without you, you can't succeed. So you are very important. You need to be in your success trade. But you see, there are other things that can help us succeed as we ought to. And there are a lot of ingredients. If you're cooking rice, if you want to cook Jamaican style of rice without curry, will you achieve it? It looks like Jamaicans, they like curry very well. Antonio, everything they cook in Jamaica, they put curry, right? Curry must be inside. Okay, that was just a joke though. But you get it, because the most popular food we know is what? Curry goat. Mm-hmm. So curry must be inside. So, but okay, let's use that as an example. If you want to make a good curry goat, the goat is the main thing in the curry goat, right? But without the curry, would there be a curry goat? So it's one of the ingredients in the mix. As a matter of fact, one of the major ingredients in that particular style of food. Diligence is one of the major ingredients in success. If you're going to cook out success and come out right, diligence is you keep doing it even when others are not doing it with you. That shows how diligent you are. Diligent is you keep doing it even when it doesn't look like it's going to come out right. But in your mind, you're just convinced that this thing, there's no option, it's going to come out right. And you keep digging. And one day you will just find the gold. Because the gold is there. You just have to keep digging. All right. So we were looking at walking with God. Today we're going to look at working with God. Working with God. How many of you know that you're not a Christian to just be a Christian? If your goal was to go to heaven, like I said the last time on Sunday, don't come to God because you want to go to heaven. Come to God because you love Him. Leave heaven first. Leave it. They said heaven at last. I don't know why you're thinking about it first. Leave it to be in the last. Just come to God because you love Him. For those of you in relationships or that are married, when you saw your spouse, was it marriage you were seeing in their forehead? Do you know that anybody who saw their spouse and the first thing in their mind was marriage, do you know that they have entered one chance? A very big one chance. Because do you know why? That person will misbehave a lot and you will cover it for the person. Just because in your head, you have already thought about this person being my spouse. Am I making any sense to you? Should we get into it now? That part of the discussion. Maybe let's talk about it a little bit. So if you want to have a good relationship, you cannot see somebody and just imagine relationship. You get what I'm saying? So you just, so that brings me to say, you coming to God should not be about just making heaven. Yes, we know that they probably thought about it when we gave our life to Christ, but it should be bigger than just making heaven. You coming to God should be because you have seen that, wow, there's really God. Like, there's really God. And he's like God really created me and made my life beautiful. Oh, wow, man really fell. And his love, he came for me. That should be the reason why you come to God, not heaven. You should come to God because he died for you. Wow, he loved me so much. That should be the reason why you should come to God. Because of love, not because of heaven. And that's why a lot of Christians, or a lot of people, because if you're a Christian, you make heaven. A lot of people will not make heaven, even if they're going to church. You get what I'm saying? Because in their mind, their heaven, their own is heaven. The love is not there. The love for God is not there. They're only thinking about heaven. That's why I say, should we get into it? Because their love for God is not there. Should I repeat it? As Christians, as people that go to church, their love for God is not there. And you can tell that their love for God is not there. You can tell. Because if you really love God, you want God's kingdom to flourish. Are you still here? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you offending that matter? Please respond. I know that you are alive. Are you here? There are a lot of people that are in church that might not make it to heaven, or that will not make it to heaven. And one of the reasons might be because they don't love God. They are only here for transactional purposes. They are going to church for transactional purposes. If I give, God will give me back. If I give to the church, God will give me back. Oh, if I serve him a lot, I'll have good health. Oh, if I be going to church and I'm reading my Bible, I'll go to heaven. You are coming for transaction. That's not Christianity. You need to actually understand who God is and love God for who he is. And we will know that you love God when we see what you do for God. It's that simple. If you love your spouse, when I mean spouse here, it could be you're in a relationship, maybe you are talking, maybe you are married, whatever your relationship stage you're in. If you love your spouse, your partner, would it be for the end goal? Just for the end goal? If it was a love relationship, is it always about the end goal? It's about the person, about the love you share with the person. It's always about love, love. Whether there is an end goal, there is no end goal. You just like to be with this person. You just love this person. You just do whatever you need to do for this person. Are you still here? You know, I listened to a preacher, and he's very correct. He said, if you're in a relationship, if you want to know if the relationship is for you, remove sex from it. Don't think about sex. And you should vibe normal. Let's see how long you last vibing normal. If you cannot vibe normal without sex, then that was not supposed to be there. Are you still understanding what I'm saying? This is not a relationship class, so let's leave that part first. If we don't vibe normal, we cannot gossip about everybody, including your parents and my parents, normal. Without sex, then we are not supposed to be in a relationship. Are you catching the drift? So what am I saying? That if you are a Christian, it should be because you love God. People who don't love God are not Christians. Let's be honest with ourselves. You can come to church all you want. You can come to church. You know, it baffles me. I will explain something to you, mostly in America. You know, I've been in America for a long time now, so I know I can talk about the culture a lot. We thought that Americans, those guys, they are carrying God. They are carrying God. Mostly those that we hear, do you want a revolution? Woo, woo. So we thought, man, these people were like Christians. And these guys, they are burning for Christ. My God, they are not burning anything. They are burning. May they not burn. But they are not burning anything. Because I've come to realize that in this part of the world, they are very transactional. Maybe not all of them, But most of them are in the whole world. Of course, I'm here, so I can relate to the ones here. Like Black Americans, for example, or people in this part of the world, let me not say Black Americans, maybe people in this part of the world that are used to the custom in this area are people that they're looking for prayer mantis, prayer contractors. I mean, they do that on other parts of the world too. But they're transactional. They're coming to church is to get God to do something for them. That shouldn't be the reason why you should be in church. That's the wrong reason. Do you know you can get that thing done at home? You don't have to come to church to get God to do anything for you. You were not in church when Jesus Christ died for you. You were sinning. You were committing all manner of sexual sins, lying, killing, and all. Yeah, Jesus Christ died for you. He loved you. So you don't have to come to church for him to do anything for you. So if you're coming to church so that he will see that, oh, I'm in church on Sunday, he will do something, you are just on the wrong, you're on the wrong path. You know why I'm saying this? Because I've gotten a lot of calls. A lot of calls. Even just having the number on this thing for prayer, I've gotten a lot of calls. So they now make it look as if the leader, the pastor, the man of God is just there to pray for their sicknesses and whatever they need from God and money for them. And then once that is done, deuces, until the next time they need God again. So, but you see, where I came from or where I'm coming from with this whole thing is that you need to love God. You need to actually understand who is God. Get to know this God. Love this God. Love him. Like, love him. You need to love God. You need to actually love God. If you love God, a lot of things that they are begging you to do, you will not. Nobody has to beg you to do it. I'm telling you. If you really love God, there are things that they are begging you to do that it won't be something they beg you to do. I know some of you here have proven to be like that, proven to actually love God. Actually, you know, I know some of you. But for all of us, you need to get to the point where you actually love God. Know him. To love him is to know him. To know him is to love him. Know him. Love him. And don't be going to church for what you can get from God. Oh, I need to pray for this. Ah, this Sunday I must be the first in church. Do you know you can pray about that thing at home and God will answer you? You don't have to be in church to pray for it. Just God is everywhere. Everywhere. God is living inside of you. You don't have to carry God. God is inside you. Then you now carry him and bring him to church to pray to him that's inside you. Does that even make any sense at all? Let's be honest. You receive the Holy Ghost, God is inside you. So you can talk to God anywhere. He's there with you. So why are you coming to church to come and pray to God that's inside of you? Think about it for a second. All right? Anyway, so we worship, we fellowship together. That's for another purpose, for another reason. Maybe one day we'll look at it. But what am I saying? Diligence. You have to love this God to be able to work with him. You have to love this God. Remember, diligence is loving that thing and doing it regardless of what the outcome looks like in the beginning. We're going to look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start from verse 9. First Corinthians 15 and verses 9. Okay. All right. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. I want us to take some time to explain this, and then we'll move further. We are God's fellow workers. We are his field. We are his building. Think about that for a second. So first one for us is what we're really going to talk about today, which is that we are his fellow workers. What is God doing now? What is God's assignment now? If you know God, you've been coming to church, you've been reading your scriptures, and you know, we all have brains, right? So out of everything, if you're going to the beginner's class, you know what doctrine is, right? Doctrine is a set of teachings or a set of learning. So out of the set of learning about the scriptures and all that, and this dispensation we are in now, what is God's work now? What is God trying to do now? God is trying to get men unto himself. And he's doing this with love. God is not judging anybody now. You know, some people say, why is God so slow? He sees these people, they are against me. And every time they catch me, they catch my leg, I want to run. He sees them pulling me back. He cannot even use his thunder and fire them. God is not doing any of that. If you don't have faith enough to live a victory life, or you have stayed there and be wasting your own time and be getting defeated every day and be blaming God. You are blaming God, but you are being defeated. But everything you need to achieve this goal has been given to you. It's like America sent armies to Iraq or Pakistan or wherever they be sending armies to. And then the armies get waylaid by the hoodlums there, because most times it's not even the soldiers there that are fighting them, you know. And then they get waylaid on the way. The unknown gunmen, you know, militants, I think that's the right one. And then they get waylaid on the way, and the American army can't pull out their gun to shoot. What's going to happen? Or they have everything they need ready to win that fight. But those people come out of nowhere to attack them, and the American soldiers drop their weapon and start running. What's going to happen? Let's be honest. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. God has given you everything you need to win every day. Like you're winning from a standpoint. You're fighting from a victory standpoint. Christ has won and given you victory. You have everything you need to win daily in your own personal life. But a lot of Christians, they drop it and they're complaining about how the devil is holding their leg and holding their waist and holding their head. Amen. But if they take a hold of the arsenal, they take a hold of what they take a hold of the ammunition that God has given to them to be able to fight in this life, these battles, and win them. If they do it, then they are going to always win. Always, always win. Okay. Please call Sylvia for me. Thank you. All right, so we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. Please come. And we are his field, and we are his building. So we've looked at God's fellow workers. We're supposed to work with God in achieving God's aim. And if you look at what God's aim is now, is to win men to himself. So if we are his fellow workers, that means we are winning men together with God. God cannot come down and talk to anybody. It's us that will talk to other people. God is not going to come down and speak to your friend. It is us that we use to talk to our friends. It's us that we use to talk to our neighbors. We are his field. So as you look at the order in which this is going, we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. As you work for God, God is working for you. You know, the English will try to explain this as much as he can explain it. Look at that. Let's look at this like people who went to school now. For we are God's fellow workers. What do you see there? A semicolon. Please follow me. Don't be distracted. We are God's fellow workers. You see a semicolon. What does a semicolon, what does that mean? That means the next phrase of sentence is qualified by the previous, or the previous qualifies the next. Am I talking? I'm talking. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. This is to say that these two are, they are following each other. That means one is because of the other, or the other is because of one. So if you're God's fellow workers, you are God's field, that means as you work with God, God is working you out. Some people want to be perfect. They want to look at themselves and say, in 2024, I've not lied. Or I've not done anything bad. I've not committed anything. So now I can work with God. No. You are a child of God. Start working with God. As a matter of fact, those people are doing bad things together. Start pulling them to God. As you are doing this in love, because you love God. So the first thing I said is what? Get to know God. Get to love God. Don't be transactional with God. Then if you love God, you will do his bidding. This is what God wants, is to win other people, all the sinners to himself. To get them born again. That's why he died. So if you love God, that will be your business. And if that is your business, as you're doing it, those things that you think you're doing wrong will just start getting right. See, we have heard testimonies of people who left what they came to church for. So first of all, they came to church wrongly, like I said earlier on. So they came to church to get God to do something for them. I'm going to dwell on this verse, and that's it. We'll continue on Sunday. All right? So that I can be able to finish it up very well today. So, these people, they came to church. They came because they wanted God to give them children. They were barren. So they came. Oh God, we have come to you. We have come to the mountain of miracles and healing ministries. So God, you must give us a day. Prayed and fasted and connected deliverance and all those good things. And baby did not come. Some of them. Some of them had other cases. But guess what? The ministry laid down working for God. Can't remember what they call it now. So every member was supposed to go out and win people to God. So they said, after they've tried the transactional style of Christianity and it did not work, they left it. The love of God came. They left it and said, let's do this. This is our life now. Let's just win so. And while they were doing that, baby entered the stomach. Some will say, well, it's coincidental, for real. These are people that have been barren for maybe 15 years, 12 years. The doctors have even said, this womb cannot carry a child. And they started seeking God's help. And what? And they came transactionally because they know God can do it. God can do it, don't mean you should come transactionally. Don't come transactionally. Don't come and do transaction. Come, love God. And you see, this brings us to something. You see, when you start, the more you know God, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you want to know him. The more you know him, the more you love him. And that's how you become like him. So guess what? How you start loving God to this degree is by fellowship. The more you fellowship, The more the love of God is implied. That's why when we say, come to church, bring them to church, we're not saying it because we don't have things we want to be seeing their face or for whatever else people go to church for. That's not the reason why we are saying these things. We are saying it because we want to help them. The more they are around the word of His grace, the more the love comes from within them. And the more the love comes from within them, the more the love comes within them, the more they are God's fellow workers. The more they are God's fellow workers, the more they become God's field. Are you following me? You're following me, right? So these people, they left what their problem was. They came to solve a problem in church. They were in church for years and the problem was not solved. But then, they started working. The love swelled up within them and they started working. As they started working with God, they became God's assignment too. God started working on them. And the last one says, you are God's building. You are God's fellow worker. You are God's field. You are God's building. Hallelujah. God lives in you. And so because He lives in you, you are His field. And because of that, you should be His fellow workers. God can't be living in you and you are not working with Him. Can I repeat that again? God cannot be in you and you're not doing His bidding. You're not working with Him. Then there will be a conflict of interest. Are you here? Have you seen some of the reasons why some Christians are in penury? Because God is in them, but they are not working with God. Is that making any sense to you? This is on a deeper level. Are you catching it? God cannot be in you and you're not working with Him. If God is in you and you're not working with Him, something is wrong. Something starts becoming wrong with you. I'll explain. That's why an unbeliever can seriously be an unbeliever and be enjoying his life as an unbeliever because he doesn't have God. So God is waiting for him to come. Your child can be out there gallivanting the streets. He's not your child. He doesn't concern you. Are you still here? They can be walking around. But if the moment this person becomes your child, or if this person is your child, then it becomes your duty to see, like you guys have to work together. Like he has to follow what you tell them, what you tell him or her. If not, there's a conflict of interest. And in that case, the child might go into a problem because he's not working with you. As vague as that example is, but people catch it from there. Let's throw it some other way. Let's help some other people that didn't catch that one. If you're in a car and you want to go to Miami. Oh, there are two pilots in a plane. This one will make more sense. Two pilots in a plane. One is headed to Miami. Another one is trying to take us to, where's that other place? Montana. What's going to happen? One is sleeping. Next thing, that one is taking us to Miami. Next thing, that one wake up. He put on autopilot so he can sleep. Then next thing, this one wake up. And look at the radar. It's Miami. You look at he's sleeping. What would he do? He will turn it again. Montana. You see, there will be chaos. Before you know what's going to happen, that plane, the gas in the plane will finish while they are doing back and forth. And guess what's going to happen? You crash. That's a little simpler example. The point is, God can be in you and you are not a co-worker with Him. You're not working with Him. There is a conflict of interest. It's like you're working for a company, but you're working against the company. Like you're in a company, but you're working against the company. There's a conflict of interest. Have you seen that? And that's why a lot of company will just lay you off. They don't want that. So once the day they know that this person there might be things that causes conflict of interest. I'll give you an example. There are some companies that they don't want you to work for another company doing the same thing. Mm-mm. They don't want it because there's a conflict of interest. Or they don't want you to own your own doing the same thing because it becomes a conflict of interest. And so immediately they find that out, they give you an option to either quit what you're doing or get fired. Because, I mean, they can't force you to not do what you want to do, but they'll give you an option because it's a conflict of interest. Because if you're here, we are not going to grow as a company because your mind is divided. You're here and you're there. So you're neither here nor there. But we need everybody in the company to be of one mind so that we can grow. Have you seen that? So, if God is in you, but you're not working with Him, it's a conflict of interest. An unbeliever can just be an unbeliever, giving to the poor, giving to the homeless, giving to their whatever they worship. And they could be very wealthy doing that. Do you know why? Because there's no conflict of interest in what they're doing. But a Christian can't tell me he's a Christian and he says, I'm only going to give to the poor and not give to the work of the ministry. Don't you think there's a conflict of interest there? Are you following what I'm saying? Are you catching it? This is not what I came to say today, but we are there. Let's just be there. It's a conflict of interest. To say I'm with God, but you are not winning soul, but you are not contributing to the propagation of the gospel, is a conflict of interest. If you want to be an unbeliever, go and be an unbeliever so that you can enjoy earth. But if you're a Christian and you're a child of God and you say, well, I can't give my money to God, I can't give my money to that church, then there is a conflict of interest. Do you really love God? Do you really want the work of the ministry to move forward? Like, do you really? You see where I started from? Let's not do transactional. Don't say, oh, I'm giving so that God will give me back. I'm sowing seeds so that God will help my health. No, don't do that. But do you know God? Do you love Him? Do you know what He wants? What He's doing now, this dispensation, that He wants to win other people to Him. And you know, the scripture said that by your finances, the word of God will be spread abroad. So I'm using that as an example. Now, we're talking about money today, right? But now, if you know that you love God and finances is needed to put the work of God forward, you'll be like, okay, so I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to talk to my neighbor about God. I'm going to bring people to church. Oh, we need money to run that crusade. Let's go. We need money to go to that village. Let's go. Because you love God. But if you're not in that zone, if you're not in that time zone, then there will be a conflict of interest. But you're carrying God inside you, but you're not moving the way God wants to move now. Then there's a problem. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What I'm telling you now, I'm telling myself too. I promise you, I don't know what I'm saying right now. I mean, you were there when I was putting these scriptures on. There are more scriptures to talk about. But I'm going to just stop here and just hit this point that God wants me to hit. There is a conflict of interest. If you have God in you, but you are not moving in His dispensation, there's a conflict of interest. A conflict. That's why an unbeliever will do it and get away with it. You do it and you will not get away with it because there's a conflict in your body. Because Christ is in you. And but you're not moving according. You're not moving according to the movements. The unbeliever don't have Christ in them. So all they need to obey is principle of the life. And they are fine. But you have come to a different world. A different ball game. It's a different ball game. You and the unbeliever, you're not in the same field. You're not playing the same way. You're a Christian, you're playing it differently. You should play differently. You should play according to the Holy Spirit. Let them play according to life principles. That's good for them. But the reason why we play according to principles is because we know, rather, according to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The reason why we are playing as the Holy Ghost wants us to play is because of the end. We know the end. The Bible says The living dog is better than a dead lion. Haha. Are you catching that? Did you catch that? So let them play with life principles that God has already set. We want to play the way the Holy Ghost wants us to play. And the Holy Ghost will help us with the life principle. Yes. But there are some times we know we are working differently. We're not working by principles. We're working by the Holy Spirit. Because we know the end. There's an end to all these things. We know. The unbeliever can walk with the regular life principle and move and get okay with it. But we know that this guy is a dead lion because he's not a living dog. Are you still here? So he's a dead lion because he's a lion. He's roaring. Yes, on earth, he's like, ah, ah, ah. But we know that this one is dead. Anyone who's not in Christ is dead. So we know that at the end of the day, all those things are gone. It's gone. That's it. Because the Bible said a living dog is better than a dead lion, doesn't mean that every Christian is a living dog. Are you still here? There are Christians that are living lions, like us. We are living lions. We're not a living dog. We are living lions. But the reason why the scripture put that way is to let you know that don't fret. Don't see the unbeliever doing well. And you're thinking that, oh, my God. Ah, man. I wish I want to be like that. No, don't think that way. Because you are better than an unbeliever that's a billionaire. You are more better. If you catch it, you catch it. But that's not where we are today. We are on another level today. But do you understand what I mean by conflict? And this is the reason why Christians are in penury, are in pain, are sick every day, because there's a conflict in their body. There's a conflict. There's a conflict of interest. A Christian tells you, well, you know, another example again. A Christian tells you, well, you know, I cannot give my money to any pastor. And, that's not happening here, though. But I'll be looking at it. Are you really giving to a pastor? Or you are giving towards the work of the ministry? And don't get me wrong, there are some people that said they are men of God that just be collecting money from people, you know. So we're not going to say they are not people like that. They are people like that. But you see, this one thing I've always talked about. I've always said, if you don't trust that where you are, that God is there, please take your bag and go to where God is. Or if you don't trust that here, that God, I'm coming to meet God here. If you think it's a pastor you're coming to meet, please take your bag and go to where you meet God. Because you see, this heavenly race is a very personal race. Very personal. And that's why I say love God. Forget that there's heaven. Forget that he will come when you come, that the miracle. Just love God. Just love God. And the rest will follow. So, Don't let there be any conflict in your body. The Holy Ghost lives in you if you have received him. You are now in God if you are born again. Don't become the reason why your life went this way. Don't become the reason why. I'll give you this. There are some people, maybe some of them you know, maybe, that just because life is good for them, now, they are saying nonsense. Just because life is good for them now. But immediately, life start becoming funny. When they foresee that it looks like life wants to start becoming funny, their confession always change. And they want to come under the umbrella of God. Ah, it's only God that can help me. But the moment they feel like, oh, I'm making money now, their confessions have changed. Are you still here? Don't be like that. I know a couple of them like that. I know a couple of them like that. When it looks like they need God, they really come to God. When it looks like, oh, you know, so to them, the yardstick to calculate their needing God is how much money they are making. Money is nothing, you know. Money is nothing. I'm telling you. You have money and you hate money. Ask Elon Musk. He will tell you better. Money is nothing. Do you know that there were times when people wore leaves, palm leaves, they would tie the palm rope around the palm leaf, weave it, and that was their clothes, and they were happy. Okay, you guys were not born then. I'm the only old person here. All right. Let's take 10, 20, 30 years from now, right? And now, when there was no cell phone, how many people know there was a time when there was no cell phone? Yeah. Were we not happy? You say, I can relate. We were happy. When we were rolling tires on the street, we were happy. When we did not see money, we were happy. I remember then when my parents came to America and left some of us back home. You know, and you know, when you come to America, you're going to try to start to, you know, gather yourself. Yeah, it's only Jama, you know? Okay, Jama, Pascal, maybe can relate to it too. When you come, like, it's not easy. Like, you're going to try to. So that was my parents. So I knew, well, I didn't know then. I was blaming them that measure. But later, when I now came to, when the thing happened to me, and I said, okay, this is what they tried, though. You know, and stuff like that. So, but you know what I'm saying? Even at that time, they made sure that, you know, we're not hungry or anything, or, you know. But, of course, it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't like Jay now, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like Jay, where, you know, I don't think, did you go to any public school? He said, yes, this guy. He didn't wine. But you get where I'm coming from going to, right? Even at that time, we were happy. I even remember one time when I was young, like I was so happy as a child that I followed these guys that were pushing themselves on the streets. I was less than 10, maybe like Steven. And I followed these people, and next thing I didn't know where I was again. They started looking for me. But thank God that God created me to be very smart. Somehow I found my way home. At the time, we were happy. But now, even with cell phone and computers and social media, yet we are bored. Do you know the reason why you're on your phone for 6 hours? Because you are bored. You are bored. Even with that phone, you are bored. Like, you keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling to see what will interest you, yet you are bored. That's why you are still there for 6 hours. You are still looking for, the most interesting post. 6 hours have gone. 6 hours of your life. To the point where you scroll to sleep and you wake up and the first thing you grab is your phone again to start scrolling, to continue scrolling. Because life is, what am I saying in essence? All these things, you will do them to the point where you realize that it's actually nothing. Don't let these things determine your love for God and how you move with God. Today you have, so God can go to hell. Tomorrow you don't have. Now, God is my Lord, is my master. I'm going to follow him. You want to start praying now that you don't have, or now that your kneecap is now paining you, you want to now start following God. And that's why, don't blame your preachers, your leaders, when we're rounding up now so you can help us start playing. Don't blame your leaders, your preachers, your pastors, when they pray for somebody and it looks like the prayer, it's like, is God not answering this preacher anymore? You never know. Did the person come transactionally or the person actually loves God? You have to figure that out. Hallelujah. You catch the drift today, right? Love God. Diligence is loving what you're doing and doing it regardless. Follow God. Love God. Don't worry about, he's going to give me this at the end of the day. He's going to give me, there are many rooms in the heaven and we're going to be there. Don't worry about those things. Just follow God. Just love him. Just know who he is. Love him. Follow him. And you'll be fine. As you work with him, he's working on you. Yes, we know that. That's for sure. But don't work with him because you want him to work for you. And don't follow the world's way of thinking. There will be a conflict of interest in your body, in your life. Don't follow that way. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Understand what God wants from you now. Follow that leading. Yes, there are principles. These principles that are here, they were here before Jesus Christ came. They were here from the foundation of the world. In Genesis, he already said that as long as earth remaineth, seed time or harvest time will not cease. Not because you gave to God. So the unbeliever, I'm using this as an example again, we're talking about giving today. All this, the unbeliever will go out there and do giveaway, and God will bless him for doing giveaway, because God has said that he will be blessed if he gives. But as a Christian, on top of doing the giveaway, because you should give away too, if you are not giving to the gospel, that means you don't really love God. Do you really love God? If you're not evangelizing, you're not winning soul, do you really love God? Do you really love him? Is a question. There's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning. Come on, sing. I have decided, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, hey, no turning back. One more time, sing. I have decided, decided to follow Jesus.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.